this point, I would like to mention Chan Master Zhao Zu, who lived to the ripe old age of 120. From the anthology of his sayings, we found that he led a life of living art in transcendence, freedom, and repose. Once, when someone asked him how to cultivate, he said, "Please wait a while. I have other things to do." In fact, he went to the toilet and, upon returning, said to the visitor, "You know, cultivational practice is not something others can do for you. Even something as trivial as going to the toilet cannot be done by others for me. All the more so cultivational practice. You need to actually engage in the cultivation yourself and not just talk about it." This was how the Chan Master taught. No one had done it in a similar fashion before him. He did it, and people trusted him not only for his high standing, but also his power to inspire. How freely at ease and uninhibited. There was another time when a learner asked the Chan Master what was the revelation of the patriarch coming from the West. He responded by pointing at the front court, saying, "The cypress tree in the front court." His answer was absolutely unrelated to the question. And yet this was exactly the revelation of the patriarch coming from the West that he wanted to get across. Things are how they are. They happen just the way they do. Another case on record is known as "Go Drink Tea." A visiting learner came to pay homage to the Chan Master, who asked, "Is this your first time here?" "My first time." And the Chan Master said, "Go drink tea." Then came another learner and the same question, "Is this your first time here?" "This is my second time here." The Chan Master told him, "Go drink tea." The owner of the residence, who was looking on, felt perplexed and asked, "I could well understand that it was out of courtesy that the first visitor was asked to go drink tea because he's a newcomer. But the second guy is someone you already know. So why the same treatment?" The master called the owner's name and said, "You too, go drink tea." How highly artistic. He had illustrated the Buddha Dharma in such an informal and unpretentious manner. Chan is an art of living. The living of a Chan person is artistic living. Chan is also a way of living. What is this way of living? Everything is just the way it is. Each one of us eats when hungry and goes to bed when sleepy. Are we therefore not already in cultivational practice? Wrong. When we eat our food, we have all sorts of discrimination in our mind. This is delicious. That is not. This is sour. That is hot. This is sweet. That is bitter. This is not eating, but going through a process of discrimination. When we go to bed and a lot of thinking is still going on, so that we could hardly sleep a wink, this is not sleeping, but struggling. Just like how a Chan person would treat all things, the Chan way of living is beyond duality. A way of living that is without any touch of discrimination. We are not yet up to pursuing a Chan person's way of living, so please do not try to imitate. It would be disastrous if you do, for you have not reached that state, and the imitation would only just be in appearance and of no actual help. Chan is an art of living, a lifestyle manifested through a Chan person. The content of living as experienced by an awakened practitioner. Sixthly, Chan is eternal felicity, true happiness. The eventual goal of Chan is to attain eternal felicity and true happiness. Chan is the enjoyment of cool, refreshing repose. It is having consummated the transcendence of all dualities, the great liberation of having severed from the cycle of births and deaths, the ultimate freedom of non-abidance in both nirvana as well as living and dying. Chan can release all the energy that has always been there within one's life force. All of us originally possess the Buddha's qualities, such as the 10 powers, the 4 intrepidities, and the various merits and wisdoms. We are also perfectly endowed with the 3 bodies. All of these are not manifest because they are being hidden under the obfuscation of our ignorance and delusion. It is by means of Chan practice and through the transcendental experience of direct transmission of the Buddha Dharma that the energy of our life force could be released. This is when everything would become unimpeded and total liberation is reached. Worlds of the 10 directions would be there when the conditions for them to be there are there, and be gone when the conditions are no more, all for the sake of sentient beings. The goal of Chan is the same as that of the doctrinal discourse of Buddhist teachings. They differ only in the point of entry. Buddha Dharma, through the spoken word, is indirect and step by step. Chan aims to be there all at once, rising above duality to get straight to the core. This is the main difference between the two. For those who have sharp roots or excellent potential, they can instantaneously attain eternal felicity and true happiness. Those with relatively dull roots cannot hope to follow suit. They must recognize that one's potential would have to be accumulated, and not enough is not enough. It is like a businessman who has to accumulate enough capital to do big business. The one with sharp roots might appear to have attained his goal within an instant, but this is in fact the result of dedicated effort accumulated over many past lives. Without having accumulated any capital, even a small deal would be very difficult to achieve. It is the same with learning to practice Chan. We have to nurture wholesome roots, forge wholesome affinities, and cultivate for continuous accumulation of virtues and merits to enable the right conditions for accomplishment. What is Chan? I think it is well illustrated through this poem by Su Dongpo. The misty rain of Mount Lu and the rumbling tide of Za. I yearned to go there when I had not been there. Having been there now and with nothing in mind, the misty rain of Mount Lu and the rumbling tide of Za. Everything is such as it is. Everything is but a process.